Hey, check this thing on. Hey, it's the beer show. You're listening to CygnusRadio.com. My name is Frank Curtelli.
And I'm G Gon.
G Gon and I rode up to Willimantic today, and we went to Willimantic Brewing Company. That's Willibrew if you're in the club. We're going to tell you all about it, but first we're going to crack a beer and dig the swaggerts.
Cheers.
Man, I'll tell you, that makes you want to hoist a cold one, doesn't
American
it?
Beer.
Absolutely. What other kind of beer? Well, there is.
Well, there's Connecticut beer. I think they should rewrite the song.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, no. Rewrite? No. Update?
Update the song.
Not even update.
Connecticut
like a version two.
Beer.
Exactly. That was pretty good, man.
Yeah, and I can't sing.
you just sang. I'm not even sure what you're saying. Willimantic Brewing Company. That's in Willimantic, Connecticut.
And actually, it's depending on what part of the state you're in, and we're basically coming from the lower southwest, it's a haul. But you know what? I noticed this time Frank wasn't complaining as much about the drive as when we went down to Stamford.
Oh, Stamford was the worst.
Yeah, but this was even longer.
Stamford is in New Jersey.
No, it's...
At least Willimantic is in Connecticut.
Welcome to the Bear Show.
Yeah.
I'm G. Gon.
I'm Frank Rotelli. You're listening to CygnusRadio.com.
As you can tell, we had a great day out at the Willimantic Brewing Company, and their flights is really wild. They give you the card, and they show you all the beers that they only brew there.
Yeah.
They don't. You can't find them in the package stores. This is a brew pub,
right?
Basically.
Oh yeah, and well, that's
a brew house.
Yeah, you know, most of the time the beer show when Gary and I go out, we go to breweries. This was a brew pub where they brew certain beers right there on site, and other beers they have as guest taps. And there's a lot of guest taps.
There had to be at least 20. If not more.
I wasn't.
Guest taps.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't looking at guest taps this time.
Neither did I. Right, because
I wanted to try their beer.
Right,
right,
exactly.
But they had a lot of guest taps, and I did notice one or two. Like, oh, hey, man, I have that's on my untapped wish list.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna try that one of these days. So they have great taps from outsiders, but their beer is really good. Tell me about one of the beers you drank on your flight.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing was, first, I do want to stress that the flights, you get five to a flight, which is great, but they had, what, like 9 to 10? Or I didn't pull a tally of their own brews there on tap.
Let's call it a cool dozen.
You know,
a Willabrew dozen.
A Willabrew dozen.
Yeah.
And so I bounced around and I tried a couple of their old ales and the Poor Richard's Ale. I think, did you have to have the Poor
Richard's
Ale?
Yes, I did. Go ahead.
It's an old style one that our waiter, Dan, told us that the recipe was actually Ben Franklin's recipe. And they tried to replicate it as best possible. And it was delicious. And it has a molasses in it. And the molasses is what I felt was shining in this beer.
Right.
And not in that overly...
molasses.
And not in that overly molasses way. So, I mean, I could really understand...
You can't have too much molasses. It slows you down.
Always. Exactly. Yeah. I found that to be a really... great introduction to the brew house there, because it's housed in, we'll get into the ambiance later, in an old post office, when Frank and I will talk about that later. So it really put me in a great mood right there.
Well, it is an old post office. I mean, we're talking from like 1909. That goes up back a long way.
The last century.
And when you said old school, this Poor Richard's Old Ale, and that's O-L-D-E.
Oldie.
That's really old.
Yeah.
You know?
Like shoppy.
It's absolutely old school type of beer, and it's 7.1 alcohol, and it's a recipe that's it's dark and roasty.
Roasty,
malty. You mentioned the molasses.
Oh yeah,
but it's an unfiltered, and it's got a lot of sort of history. And since this is an old post office, and Ben Franklin being like the first postmaster and all, it's a really cool thematic sort of beer, and I think kind of encompasses the whole vibe at Willimantic Brewing.
And the reason why I mentioned that one first of my five, tell me one of the ones you tried there.
Well, I had one that's called The Edge of Darkness. And The Edge of Darkness was a really, really interesting beer for me.
Why so, Frank?
As you know, I'm an IPA guy.
Yes, you are.
I love my hops.
Yes, you do.
But I've been getting to the brown ales recently because of Stony Joe.
Yes.
You know, from Stony Creek Brewing down in Branford. Yeah,
Mocha
that
Stout.
Golden Mocha Stout.
Yep.
Which is sort of brownish. It's a
Got
brownish
a couple bottles
sort of
in
ale.
The fridge right there.
I saw that in the fridge, and that's really, really cool. Edge of Darkness is technically an American brown ale. 7.7%. But it's a hopped brown ale with Centennial, Bravo, and Neo hops. And I do like those Centennial hops. So this was like a hoppy brown ale. So it's a brown ale for the IPA drinker.
Gotcha, just like the Golden Mocha Stout is a stout for the IPA drinker.
Yeah, exactly right. So it was a nice middle ground sort of beer for me, and I really liked it a lot.
See, now you made me wish I ordered that. Yeah, because I did not get that in my flight. No,
you got strange beers.
One of the ones I got was, yeah, strange beer. Yeah, well, I tried their Shooting Blanks.
Oh.
IPA.
See, I read that as Blanks, but we learned from the owner that it's
Blanks. Too, because I'm thinking Mel Blank.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the owner told us it's Shooting Blanks.
Shooting Blanks is...
IPA,
more clever.
And it's an unfiltered sour rye with, you ready for this one? I had to write it down. Undiculated malts.
What the fuck is that mean?
I have no clue what an undiculated malt is.
Jesus Christ, it sounds painful.
So, yeah, so, but and it's hopped with the Magnum and Hollerton Blancs.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a type of hop. Is it's a Blanc.
No, when I think Blanc, I think wine. Did it have wine characteristics to it?
Well, I'll tell you. Yes, I think through the fruitiness, because I have here, it was fruity, but not over the top fruity. It was like an underlying fruity and not as sour because they called it unfiltered sour, and it wasn't as sour because I believe it was the rye,
so
which was cutting through.
Let me get this straight. Undiculated fruitiness. And underlying fruity. I think G-Gun just came out right here.
What can I say? You know, hey, not that there's anything
wrong
with
that.
All right, so you got to have the culture to tune into this show, I guess. Any other flight bears that you...
Well, you know, like we already said, I said about... I'm an IPA guy, and I tried two IPAs. One was the Willebrew IPA, the 2017 variety. Now, when I checked it in on Untappd, this is how fresh this stuff is. You know.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, so fresh that there's no 2016.
Seriously, like if you went to Willebrew...
A week from now,
probably...
Most of what we're talking about, you could not buy.
You can't even get.
So, you know, it's almost like, why are you going to listen from
continually rotating. Yeah. Except for the Certified Gold, which their flagship
and
beer.
And we're
going to
talk about that
all
a little
the
later.
Time. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you get that one?
In a growler, but we'll talk about that later.
All right.
Okay.
So the Willebrew IPA, when I tried to check it in on Untappd, it came up as a 2016. I checked it in anyway because I didn't want to go through the hassle of checking in a brand new beer. But this was incredibly smooth and flavorful. I like a flavorful IPA. I want something that almost, you know, drinks me as much as I drink it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I want it to, you know, to wow me a little bit, punch me with those hops. And this was incredibly flavorful, but totally smooth. It was a very, very enjoyable beer and delicious.
And what was the other IPA?
The other IPA was the Husky IPA. I got this one as a growler. The only difference between this one and the Willebrew 2017 IPA was that this one was literally, now I'm sure that they named it Husky after the Yukon Huskies.
All right.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that marketing, right? Mm. But remember like when you were a kid and you had, you know.
Husky
used to be a size of jeans.
Yeah.
And it was for like the big kids.
That's right. The Husky kids.
Yeah. This the Husky IPA was like the Willebrew IPA, but the big kid. And that was the only difference to my palate. This one was a little bit punchier, a little bit roastier. And I would say, you know, in the original definition of the term, huskier.
Nice.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Right. So, any more you want to comment about from your flights? I'm going to comment one, and I'm going to let you go string it back to you. No,
please.
I'm not, because it's for the growler segment.
Oh.
Go.
Oh, you want me to? I was going to take a sip of beer first while you were talking.
Take a sip of beer, because my other one was the Willebrew IPA, and I tend to agree with you, although we can have another show on how maybe my appreciation of sours, which has taken over my palate,
right,
has sometimes diminished my appreciation of the IPA now. And I don't know whether to be sad about that. But anyways, that's for a whole nother time and place.
Okay. Maybe we could do a special beer show just on your changing palates.
Yeah, yours too, because now you're more into the brown ales and all, yeah.
I know, it's funny, isn't
it? Amazing.
Yeah,
really.
Like I guess when...
There's a good reason to go out and sample local breweries.
Yeah, and maybe this is a metaphor for life.
Expand your palate, embrace and enjoy the shift and change, but still hold on to and love what began it all.
My God.
Wow.
All right, just to remind you, you're listening to CygnusRadio.com. This is The Beer Show with Frank Cotrell and Gary Gon. And we went to Willimantic Brewing Company in Willimantic, Connecticut today. The other beer I had on my flight was the Rude and Reckless. Now, I can't tell you anything about this beer.
Why not?
Because
I didn't have it, so I would like to hear what it was.
Yeah, I wish I wrote a note about it. All it said, I did write down Rude and Reckless, but we started talking to our waiter.
Dan.
And his name was Dan, right?
Cool dude.
Exactly right. Yeah, he was pretty cool. Good beard, like, you know, enjoyable fellow. He had a cool tattoo. I was looking at his art, you know, and knew a lot about beer. Told us a cool story about frogs. You're going to hear it in a second. But I was so engrossed in his story that I didn't write any notes about the Rude and Reckless.
Did it have anything to do with frogs?
It had nothing to do with frogs, but like one minute it was there, and then the next minute it was gone. And I'm pretty sure I liked it because I drank it awful fast.
And you got to hear a good frog story.
Yeah, so this is Dan, and he's going to tell you some, okay, driving in to Willimantic.
Oh, that's
right. We went over the bridge, and there were these frogs.
Big, huge frogs sitting atop the pillars.
On this bridge.
Of the bridge.
Right, like four of them.
Sculptures.
They were on either end of the bridge. It was pretty cool. And there's some frog, theme going on at Willimantic Brewing, certainly. And Dan told us a story about frogs and the area. Go ahead.
This is why.
Okay, so tell us the story of the frog.
You're going to wonder why they embraced it, but during the French and Indian War, everybody in town was a little concerned that they were going to be attacked, and there was always an imminent danger that they felt, so they heard this crazy noise one night in the woods, and they thought for sure it was the natives becoming restless and coming to take over the town. So they sent all the women and children away, and all the Minutemen and everybody got ready for battle and went out in the woods, and they found there's a lake down on 32 that was drying up, and it was just a bunch of bullfrogs fighting over the last of the water and making a noise that nobody had ever heard before. And that's really the whole story. It really is, I swear to God. But I like to add at the end that then they were later advanced upon by some enemy forces, and they were ready because of the practice run, so the frogs saved the town. That's not part of the story.
Okay, that's great.
That's
part of the story now.
Without that ending, it's not much to tell.
That's a great story, though.
Specifically, what he was, I know he was just going all the different.
That was an abrupt ending.
Yeah, you're always, I don't know. I'm just so in tune to having, Blue Sunday come sliding in there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just
bang.
Yes, exactly.
Well done. And sometimes that's the way it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the
It was a rude and reckless ending.
Oh. Up top here.
Come on.
There you go.
Yeah, segue.
I'm G. Gone. That's Frank Critelli. This is the Bear Show on CygnusRadio.com. We went out to Willimantic Brewery in Willimantic.
Yeah.
Right? today. That's and right. Frank's talking about
the beer that I forgot.
Because the
listening
waiter
to Dan's
told us
story about frogs. Yeah. So Willabrew, Rude and Reckless. It's an Irish red ale, and it's a 6.2. It's very interesting to me. It's kind of it's a global sort of thing because it's featuring Patagonia Pale, English Crystal, and German malts. So, and then it's balanced off with this like New Zealand Southern Cross, and it's like a real sort of people's ale. Is that okay?
Yeah, you said an Irish red.
Yeah, it's an Irish red, but it encompasses so many other cultures. I feel like, and I feel like the Rude and Reckless at this particular point, now that I'm living with this growler for a little while, is a metaphor for what the world could be.
Okay, and how about this? Here's what I'm drawing from listening to you describe it and listening mm-hmm. to Peace Frog and Dan's story and all that, because I did not have it. You can walk into an Irish pub, settle down, drink a pint, and have a conversation with somebody you just met, telling you the history of the town.
Sure.
And totally just, and the beer fits the mood.
Right, and you're hitchhiking through the country, and they're like, you know, beware the moors.
Stay off of the moors.
Stick to the road.
Well, I'll tell you, do you want to talk about the other growler you brought home, or are you good,
Well, I brought home a Husky IPA.
Oh, the Husky, which we are. It's a Husky. We already talked to him. Well, I brought home a couple growlers, and one of the ones that I brought home was the we talked about their Certified Gold Ale.
Oh, flagship.
Their flagship ale, which was delicious. It's a delicious ale. That's all I can say. You know what? This Certified Gold Ale, there you have it.
It's Certified Gold.
If you, whatever you expect out of an ale, and I don't know what most people expect out of an ale, because lately, since we've been doing the show and all that bit, a lot of the talk is IPAs, hopping and all that bit. Yeah. But a nice crisp ale is always good.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what this was. And yes, I could certify it gold. So I got a growler of that just because it's an enjoyable drinking beer. You know?
And the only beer that they have
consistently. That whenever you walk
everything
in, you
else
can
changes.
Get this.
Yeah.
Like I said, you never know what you may or may not be walking into after that. The other one I got was the Raisin Old Ale.
Oh, you know, I didn't try that one. Tell me about that.
Well, I was shying away from
Tell me about that while I pour another.
I was shying away from it, number one, because I saw it was a 9.7 alcohol content.
9.7?
Yes, and I always find that when they get up over 7 for me, sometimes the alcohol taste overtakes the...
They get a little boozy.
A little boozy, right. And it kind of tempers my appreciation of the beer itself.
Because if you want booze, then you're drinking booze. And if you want beer, then you're drinking
exactly.
beer.
Exactly. So that was one strike. The other one was Raisin. How is Raisin going to play in? I know it's a favorite with like sort of mead and stuff. But, so I was a little skeptical about that. Well,
people eat raisins because they have to.
You know, but surprisingly, I found it not alcoholic. Yeah, exactly.
Tasting.
And not even that sweet. In fact... To me, it wasn't so much a raisin flavor. It was a lovely aftertaste of like currants.
Oh.
You know?
Would you consider this a dessert beer?
Yes, I would consider this as a dessert beer. Matter of fact, I can even tell you what dessert I would eat with this beer.
Tell me, please.
Cheesecake.
Okay.
Preferably New York style cheesecake.
Ah, how would it, I like cheesecake.
Yeah?
I like a nice mincemeat pie.
We've discussed this before.
Yes. Would it go well with mincemeat pie?
I do not know because I dislike mincemeat pie.
I forgot about that, right?
But I wanted to say one other thing, though. My favorite beer of the afternoon, which I wanted in a growler but could not bring home.
What? Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Exactly. It is called Barreled Aged Tart of Gold.
Tart of Gold.
Tart of Gold, clever. Which is their Certified Gold Ale.
That's right. See, it's heart of gold, and it's tart of gold.
Aged?
Yeah.
And funkified.
Oh.
Hey,
does Dennis Lamar know about this?
I don't know. I got to give him a call. He was in the back room today. He didn't get out to this place. Anyways, it's aged and funkified in Pinot Noir barrels. Correct my...
Pinot Noir barrels. Peanut.
And you know the
No ear.
It's the tardiness Yeah. That it takes this over the top for me, and it's so delicious. I didn't want to stop drinking it.
Were you telling am I not remember, tell me, please. Did you read an article recently about the difference between tart and sour?
Yeah, because it was, I think, our last show in which we talked about the Goes
yes.
beers. You were almost kind of like, you know, not where coming, knowing where I was coming from with this tartness as mm-hmm. opposed to, gee, you like sours, admit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wish I could remember all the fine facets of this wonderful article, could tell you its name, where it was published, and how you could read it.
Okay.
But of course, those things don't enter my mind. I read Go and...
Oh, I understand.
You know?
We can Google it, though.
But it was
There's
basically stating
tart
that, right,
and sour.
Yes, sour gives you more of a... And I found this to be true, is the sour affects more of your... the oral features of your mouth, the puckerness of it. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
A sour is like when you bite into a lemon, that's sour. Okay, tartness will not take the sensations the oral sensations of your lips and cheeks and tongue and pucker you.
So it gives you the same flavor without right, like it, the pain.
Right, but it takes it more to the back of the throat and the esophagus.
Jesus Christ, man.
And the funny thing about it was I didn't understand the thing about like what they're trying to explain to me scientifically, but by drinking beers which I have had that are sour and are tart, I understood it.
Okay.
And I said, as I'm reading, I'm saying, this is what I was trying to explain to Frank.
I believe you.
So there you go. And this tart of gold.
Tart of gold.
Is probably the best goes sour, whatever you want to call it, beer I have had
wow.
yet.
I didn't try that one either. I don't like the style. But I believe you. The best one you've ever had?
Ever.
Tart of Gold from Willimantic Brewing Company.
That's right. I mean that with all my heart.
Holy cow.
Searching for a heart of gold. I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
Just to remind you, you're listening to CygnusRadio.com. This is The Beer Show. My name is Frank.
And I'm Gary.
And we visited Willimantic Brewing Company in Willimantic, Connecticut today.
Willabrew.
Yeah, Willabrew, if you're in the club. That's on Main Street.
I feel in the club now.
I'm totally in the club, man.
Yep, yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, because just you go in there and it is almost like you've always been there.
You know, I have been there maybe about a half a dozen times or so before this, but today was your first time. So
first time.
What'd you think about the joint?
The joint was unbelievable. It was old school post office like you would see on a fucking stamp. With the cement columns and the stairs and the, you know, and you go in and it's got the high vaulted ceilings with the beautiful mural-y artwork on the ceilings and the great trim.
Oh, the great trim. Right? Actually, it's very historical, folks. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, so I was like in awe of that, and they split it in half. And one half of it is like a sit-down restaurant.
Yes.
Okay? And, you know, everything from wraps and burgers to steaks and seafood. It was an amazing menu.
It's a pretty good menu.
And then the other side.
We had the nachos.
Which the other side is set up as a pub. Tables.
Long bar.
You can sit at the bar and have a bite to eat. Yeah. You can sit at a table, probably you can drink,
like
whatever.
40 people could probably sit at the bar.
At least, if not more. I think it may be even more. I think that looked like almost a 50 or plus bar.
Come on.
Seriously, I thought it the whole length of the building, dude.
Pretty much.
And then the tables against the walls and a few other little tables. Mm-hmm. And mainly they use the bar is the bar. The pub is the pub, but it's also used as a holding cell for people. I shouldn't say cell. It's a holding area for people wanting to go into the restaurant.
Right.
Now, we did not go into the restaurant. We did get what was nice was they let you put your reservation in. You get a little
beeper
thing.
And they give you
one
of those things that
And if you're waiting in the bar and they call you, you can go. Or if you end up with a table or a seat at the bar and you want to just sit there and have something to eat and drink, you could just turn the beeper back in and it's cool. Great stuff. I love businesses that do that.
Right.
You know, so we got a table in the bar and we got the nachos. Holy moly.
And that's all we had
to have. That was it. It was the pork.
It was gigantic.
Yeah, gigantorous.
Yeah.
You know, it was ginormous.
I've eaten less.
It was the largest nacho.
They delivered a plate of nachos. I have, lived on for a week. I could have eaten that plate.
But I'll tell you, but you know what sold me, Frank?
It was out of control.
You know what sold me on the whole ambiance of the place, the historic, the post office, the great, and the people, the wait staff there, people there were friendly, wonderful, great, couldn't do enough for you.
And handsome.
Beautiful. There you
My
go.
My God.
Just a
great beard
overall,
on Dan.
Just
and
a great
all, you know?
Overall place. And they had a little waiting area, too. And in the waiting area, they had pinball machines.
Yeah.
I don't mean arcade. I don't mean.
No.
Bullshit. I don't mean
stupid.
Mrs. Pac-Man. Or
no.
Anything. No.
Fuck
I'm talking
Mrs. Pac-Man.
Silver ball.
That's exactly
I'm talking about pinball.
Exactly
I'm
right.
talking about you felt like you're almost in Soho.
I can't hear a thing or see anything. I'm deaf, dumb, and blind.
Pinball wizard's got such a sub-career. never seen him fall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Yeah, Frankie, Pinball Wizard.
That's right.
That was it. I mean, I was a fan as soon as I walked in. I'm G Gon. That's Frank Cartelli. This is The Bear Show.
Yes, it is on CygnusRadio.com.
And Frank's going to give us a little history about Willimantic Brewing.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it may have been before the first time I ever visited Willimantic Brewing. But I believe it was on, don't quote me on this, but I believe it was on Connecticut Public Television. I saw a short documentary, maybe about 20 minutes or a half an hour long, on Willimantic Brewing Company, and talked about the history of the building. It was a post office in 1909, and I distinctly remember it. It choked me up because the, you know, the host of the show, you know, talked to the people there and all that stuff, and then in the closing shot, he was standing in the front, on the steps, like, you know,
right,
there's like,
yeah, it was like eight steps going up to
give
the,
or take, yeah, and the big pillars, you know?
Yeah.
And he's standing on the steps, and it's a wide angle shot, and I'm looking at it on the TV, and I'm thinking, that's a terrible shot, like, you know, he's totally off center, you know, like, what a weird
way
place
to
stand, you know what I mean, like, the whole shot was set up wrong, and the guy was saying, like, and, you know, this particular program, you know, this history of Willimantic Brewing was really important to me because my great-grandfather, and it showed him standing in this awkward spot on the steps, morphed into a picture of his grandfather. His great-grandfather standing with a bunch of other dudes in 1911 on the post office steps.
And that picture was set up properly, though, right?
And that it totally made sense. He was standing in the
exact spot
that his great-grandfather stood in. It totally choked me up. And I'm like, these people are really cool people. And we talked to the owner of the joint.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. His name was David. And he told us a little bit about his history beginning in, I think, 1994.
So in 1994, we moved to an existing restaurant, became a craft beer bar, and we still looked to put a brewery somewhere in this town, but that wasn't happening. So we looked down to Norwich and New London. We're pretty much just, we wanted to get this going. And then some local business people, the DeVivos, bought the post office in 1996 on Valentine's Day, and they were great customers of ours. And we struck a deal with them to renovate it, and then the town realized that putting a brewery in here was different than what they had envisioned, and it's been, took a year, pretty much 11 months, 3 weeks, till we were able to open with all the renovations.
It's a showplace of this town now.
It's a gorgeous building,
yeah.
And I'm doing everything I can to maintain it. In 2009, I purchased it from my landlord, so
wow.
A little while longer, I should be hopefully out of debt on the building.
Buddy, I hear that.
But a building like this does
cost a lot
of money.
Congrats for keeping the lights on.
Thank you. Oh, no, it's great. I love it.
Is this your 20th year?
We are actually now in our 21st year.
No kidding.
No, 20th year, yeah.
Yeah, 20.
I keep losing track with the different locations.
I'm watching the t-shirts here.
Yeah.
Established 1997, yeah.
Yep.
Are you doing anything special for your 20th year?
You know, you think we would. We celebrate our 25th anniversary as Main Street Cafe last year. So I always brew a special beer, but the town itself is celebrating 325 years this year.
Wow.
And there's a lot of different events going on. There's going to be a great concert down on the green with the Temptations and
All-Stars.
Jonathan Edwards, that's on June 24th.
Jonathan Edwards.
I love Jonathan.
Nice.
It's going to be like an all-day concert. There'll be a little bit of a beer fest attached to it. We do our own Hop Fest on April 30th. Called the Thread City Hop Fest. We get 60 breweries to come out.
Wow,
so
very
the
cool.
Town really has a lot that's going on all the time. Third Thursdays from May through September. It's a great town. I fell in love with it.
Good deal. I like the camaraderie. Like you said, you know, you're hosting a beer fest, but there's 30 breweries or 60 breweries. I love the camaraderie among beer makers.
You know, it is that rising tide floats all the boats. And if everybody's making good beer, you know, we could use a couple more good restaurants in town. We already have quite a few. But, you know, we're very busy place, which is great,
yeah.
But I think there's enough of a demand, especially with Eastern University and UConn up the street, That, you know, you can always use more. And well, great beer, you can never complain yeah. about.
I'll tell you what, we waited for this table just a little bit, but it wasn't an uncomfortable wait. And there's a lot of action happening around here, so kudos to you for managing it all.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun, and it still is.
Good deal, man.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, David, for talking to us. Thanks, Willimantic Brewing, for hosting us. You're listening to CygnusRadio.com, and this is The Beer Show.
I'm G. Gaughan. That's...
I'm Frank Cretelli.
Frank Cretelli. We do this once a month.
Yeah.
And you know what, Frank? I think every time we do this, we have a fabulous time.
Well, beer is good, and people are nice, and despite everything that's fucked up in the world, those things still are true.
And Connecticut has a very... thriving, wonderful beer scene.
Yeah, they certainly do. And yeah. music scene, and thank you for it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I got.
So, do we know where we're going next month?
Oh, next month?
Next month, yeah.
You mean for the beer show?
For the beer show.
No, we don't have a clue.
I'll tell you though, the Willimantic Brewing Company, man, that
was the right choice.
This was if you want to have one fabulous day trip.
Yeah. Yeah, take a drive out.
Head up to Willimantic, to the Willimantic Brewing Company.
It's a really cool, you know, as much as, you know, David was talking about, like, the different things going on in Willimantic, they got a cool record store, too.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so,
right.
Yeah, going.
We were up there too late to hit them today.
Yeah, but we'll be there next time.
Absolutely. Fellas. Frank, thank you.
Thank you, man. And thank you for listening. This is CygnusRadio.com. This is The Beer Show. Cheers, Connecticut.
Cheers.
Hey, you still got that pipe?
Gonna sit down in the kitchen and fix me something good to eat, and make my head a little high, make the whole day complete. 'Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Well, pass it to me, baby, well, pass it to me slow. We'll take time out to smile a little before you let it go. 'Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama, put a good buzz on. There ain't nothing to do, and there's always room for more. Fill it, light it, shut up, close the door. 'Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Something good to eat, and make ourselves a little high, make the whole day complete. 'Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on. Well, every night and day, if I can help it, we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.